Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, January 20th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
President Trump issues a slew of pardons as one of his last acts in office.
Joe Biden prepares to take the oath of office and sign at least 15 executive orders on day one.
Mitch McConnell ties the attack on the Capitol to President Trump, saying the mob was provoked by the commander-in-chief.
The U.S. pandemic death toll passes the 400,000 mark. Plus, New York Governor Cuomo warns of tax increases without getting federal aid. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Devils beat the Rangers. Seton Hall lost a close one at Villanova. And Kyrie Irving returns to the Nets lineup tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures higher this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures up 17 points, Dow futures up 88, NASDAQ futures up 110. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. So is the CAC in Paris. And the FTSE 100 is up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 1.10%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.2% or 61 cents at $53.59 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.7% or $12.60 at $18.52.80 an ounce. Nathan.
Karen, in just about 6 hours' time, Joe Biden will become the 46th president of the United States. President Trump is heading to Florida ahead of the ceremony. First, he's issued a slew of pardons. Amy Morris has the details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The list includes 143 pardons and commutations, including Trump's former strategist Steve Bannon, who is charged with, but not yet convicted of, using money donated to the Build the Wall campaign for personal gain. Also on the list, Trump fundraiser Elliot Broidy, who pleaded guilty to illegally lobbying for a Malaysian businessman charged with money laundering. And rapper Dwayne Carter, known as Lil Wayne, who pleaded guilty to a federal gun charge. Names not included, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, nor former intelligence contractor Edward Snowden, and Trump did not preemptively pardon himself nor his family members. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. As President Trump leaves office, he's issuing a rare gesture of goodwill. The president wished President-elect Biden success as part of a farewell address.
We extend our best wishes, and we also want them to have luck, a very important word.
The remarks late yesterday did not mention Biden by name and also hinted at a possible second act for the president.
Now, as I prepare to hand power over to a new administration at noon on Wednesday, I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it.
The bulk of his speech touted accomplishments from the past 4 years, including Middle East peace deals and his aggressive stance toward China. Gallup puts the president's final approval rating at 34%, tied with Jimmy Carter and George W. Bush.
And as President-elect Joe Biden takes office, he is planning a slew of executive orders to sign as soon as today. And we get the details live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Nathan, Mr. Biden won't waste any time getting to work. He's planning to sign 15 executive orders today after his inauguration. He'll notify the United Nations the U.S. is rejoining the Paris Climate Agreement. He'll also sign an order canceling the Keystone XL oil pipeline. He'll ask regulators to revise auto fuel economy and tailpipe emission standards that were relaxed under President Trump. He'll also reengage with the World Health Organization and send Dr. Anthony Fauci to speak to the group. President-elect Biden also plans an executive action ending restrictions on travel and immigration from some predominantly Muslim countries. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Those executive actions come as the inauguration gets underway with the Capitol on lockdown. Thousands of troops have been called into D.C. to bolster an already strong police presence. We get more from Bloomberg's Michelle Jamrisco.
Among that added security is that National Guard presence with troops from across the country. This is a National Guard buildup unlike any since the Civil War. While almost every U.S. state usually sends those troops to pass inaugurations, they never have so many been called for this event.
Joe Biden is expected to be sworn in around noon. We'll bring you live coverage of the ceremony, complete with insight and analysis from security experts, policy strategists, and government officials. Catch it all on a special edition of Bloomberg's Balance of Power starting at 11 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio.
And as we prepare for the peaceful transfer of power, Mitch McConnell is using his strongest words yet to tie President Trump to this month's Capitol attack. The Republican senator is publicly condemning the president's comments ahead of the deadly riot.
The mob was fed lies. They were provoked by the president and other powerful people.
Those remarks highlight McConnell's efforts to distance the Republican Party from the president. It's still unclear when the impeachment trial will start in the Senate, and McConnell hasn't said how he'll vote.
Elsewhere on Capitol Hill, Biden's nominee for Treasury Secretary is signaling no immediate shift in strategy on China. In her confirmation hearing, Janet Yellen warned that unfair practices are giving Beijing an advantage.
China's undercutting American companies. These practices, including China's low labor and environmental standards, are practices that we're prepared to use the full array of tools to address.
The comments from Yellen are a sign of some continuity with the Trump administration. Her testimony also highlighted continuity in U.S. dollar policy and a new focus on climate change.
Turning to corporate news now, earnings from Netflix are front and center. The shares are up 12% in early trading. That's after the company ended a big year with a bang. Ed Ludlow has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
New shows like The Queen's Gambit and period drama Bridgerton helped the company add 8.5 million net new paid subscribers in the quarter, above expectations. There were a number of milestones for the world's leading paid streaming service. It crossed the 200 million subscriber mark for the first time. Its financial health improved too. Netflix ended the quarter with more than $8 billion in cash and says it no longer needs external financing. It's also considering stock buybacks for the first time in a decade. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you, and stay tuned for more big earnings on the way this morning. We get results from Morgan Stanley coming up just over 2 hours from now. And again, we've heard from United Health this morning reporting fourth quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. Futures are moving higher with S&P futures up about 16 points. And straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 607 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Deaths from the coronavirus continue to grip the U.S. Bloomberg's Karen Chase explains.
The U.S. death toll from the coronavirus has now surpassed 400,000, and the total number of cases is over 24 million, making the U.S. the world leader in infections. The landmark comes as a new and more contagious virus variant threatens to become dominant by March. As soon as he's sworn in, President-elect Biden has pledged to make fighting COVID a top priority and plans to use the full power of the federal government to ramp up vaccinations. Karen Chase, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New York officials are pushing for more COVID-19 vaccine doses as the effort to speed up inoculations collides with a lack of vaccines. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says that the city will run out of first doses of COVID-19 vaccine sometime tomorrow without fresh supplies.
President-elect Biden's very clear, powerful pledge to vaccinate Americans at a record rate. He's calling for 100 million doses to be given in his first 100 days. I commend him. That's the kind of goal we need. What a clear departure from what we have known.
De Blasio says that the city will have to start canceling vaccine appointments unless it gets more doses. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo warned of tax increases on the wealthy and cuts to schools, local government, and social services unless the state gets a budget balancing $15 billion infusion from President-elect Joe Biden's $350 billion stimulus proposal. Cuomo says the state was hit hard by the pandemic.
Businesses were closed. We lost revenue, the expense of actually conducting the war, the disruption of last spring when we were assaulted by COVID, the lives that were lost. That's the actual cost of COVID.
It's the beginning of five of President-elect Joe Biden's cabinet confirmation hearings. Democrats say their top priority is to get the Homeland Security nominee confirmed, especially after what he saw at the Capitol 2 weeks ago. But Missouri Republican Josh Hawley is blocking a swift confirmation. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:09 on Wall Street, and time for a Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, it's been more than 2 weeks since Kyrie Irving played for the Nets. He missed 7 games, but will play tonight in Cleveland. Asked why he's been absent, Irving said he just needed a pause. He was also asked what the fans might be thinking of it.
The fans out there, want to apologize to them as well. You know, my commitment has always been to bringing something special to Brooklyn. And it wasn't just a championship. It was unity, equality. It's just bigger things than just the game itself.
Tonight's game will be the first time the Nets have their three stars on the court. Irving, Kevin Durant, and the recently acquired James Harden. Caris LeVert was dealt to Indiana as part of that big trade, which meant he had to have a physical, and a small mass was found on LeVert's kidney. It's not known when he'll play for the Pacers. Hockey at the Garden. Devils got 2 goals second period from Jack Hughes. Beat the Rangers 4-3. Blue Shirts with 50 shots on goal, but all but three were stopped by the Devils. Mackenzie Blackwood. Seton Hall nearly pulled off a Big East upset, lost by 2 at Villanova, who's ranked 3rd in the country. The Mets looking for a new general manager after yesterday's firing of Jared Porter. Just a month after he got the job, revelations surfaced that Porter sent inappropriate text to a female reporter. Outfielder George Springer leaving the Houston Astros, a free agent, signed a 6-year, $150 million contract with the Toronto Blue Jays, so the Yankees will see Springer often. John Lester, now 37, signed for 1 year to pitch for Washington. Lester spent 9 years with the Red Sox, 6 with the Cubs, helped both teams end long World Series droughts. Another baseball Hall of Famer has passed away. Don Sutton was 75, pitched for 23 years, 16 of them with the Dodgers. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And John, the NHL is temporarily ditching the microchipped pucks it introduced 6 days ago after concerns over their performance. A review showed the first supply of pucks used for tracking weren't finished the same way as those from the playoffs when a player in puck tracking made its debut in the conference finals. The league expects new tracking pucks to be available soon and put back into play after they go through some tests first. Right now, S&P futures are up 16 points, Dow futures up 82, NASDAQ futures up 107 points. This is Bloomberg. And it's just before 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures moving higher this morning, lifted by earnings and hopes for more stimulus. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 16 points, Dow futures up 78, NASDAQ futures up 108, or 0.8%. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 1.10%, yield in the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.2% or 62 cents at $53.60 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.7% or $12.50 at $18.5270 an ounce. The euro 1.2118 against the dollar. British pound 1.3696 and the yen 103.81. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump has pardoned former chief strategist Steve Bannon as part of a late flurry of clemency action benefiting 143 people. The pardons and commutations were announced after midnight in the final hours of Trump's White House term. Meanwhile, Joe Biden will take the oath of office today to become the 46th president of the United States. You can hear live coverage starting at 11 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg. In the NHL, the Devils down the Rangers 4-3. The Capitals lost in overtime to the Penguins 5-4. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Just about 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined on this inauguration morning by Wendy Schiller, chair of the Political Science Department at Brown University. In a little over 5.5 hours, Wendy, the next president, Joe Biden, will take the oath of office. He intends to deliver a message of unity. Given the current environment, how difficult is the task ahead for this next president?
Well, I think, you know, he's got an enormous set of challenges. We saw something that may be in a blip yesterday in the Senate when they tried to fast-track the confirmation of the Homeland Security Cabinet Secretary and Senator Josh Hawley, who also led the opposition to the certification of the Electoral College results, you know, objected. It doesn't mean it won't go through. It'll go through. But it just shows you, and he objected based on policies on the southern border wall, which is a very big item for Trump. So what you're seeing immediately is that sort of this desire to stamp out Trumpism, or this desire to sort of set a new tone of possible bipartisan cooperation, may still happen, but there are very, very strong entrenched forces that will challenge the president, President Biden, just as the Republicans challenged President Obama sort of very consistently and very dug in deep.
And at the same time, we just heard from the Biden transition that the incoming president is going to be signing a slew of executive orders on this first day in office on issues ranging from rejoining the Paris Climate Agreement and the World Health Organization to the immigration issue, stopping construction of a border wall. We already heard that the next president is going to be introducing a comprehensive immigration reform proposal in the early days. What kind of tone does that set, and are there going to be difficulties ahead there?
Well, yes, it's rare that you get do-overs. You know, you can argue George W. Bush sort of could have been a do-over for George Herbert Walker Bush. But the Obama administration made a crucial mistake not actually trying to pass immigration reform when they had the chance in 2009, 2010, when they had all three branches of government. And Biden remembers that and realizes that this will be the only opportunity, you can argue, to get any real reform on immigration. And as long as it's not addressed, it's a problematic issue for the Democrats. Republicans have done better electorally on that issue. So substantively, it's very important, and it's very important politically. So it just shows you that Biden's paying attention to what were missed opportunities under Obama, both from executive order but also from legislative stances. When you have control of all three branches, even if it's bare control, it's still control.
Looking ahead to the inauguration itself, of course, President Trump is going to be leaving Washington early. One of his last acts in office is issuing this heavy round of pardons and commutations and rescinding his own executive order banning members of his administration from lobbying after he leaves. What kind of imprint is the outgoing president leaving?
Well, you know, you have to say, if you supported the president, President Trump, you have to be just incredibly disappointed with how he conducted himself after the election. I think he could have left, even with COVID, even with losing, he could have left and said, this is what we did. We got bad luck. We didn't handle some things right, but we did a lot of really good things in other ways, and just had that message for 2 months. But instead, he chose an alternative path, which I think has done a lot of damage to his legacy. And the idea that Biden would reverse a lot of things that Trump did might have been met with much more outcry, at least from establishment Republicans, and they're not in a position now to defend anything about the Trump administration, with the exception of people like Josh Hawley. But we'll see how loud those voices can be in the House and the Senate over the next couple of months, particularly given the events of January 6th. So that was the big mistake in my eyes of the legacy of the Trump administration. Every president typically recovers from a bad approval rating when they leave. George W. Bush did. Jimmy Carter did. But this could be much harder to recover from, at least personally for the president. The question is, does it pose challenges for the Republican Party more generally? Right now, you're not seeing any sign that the Republicans are going to retreat from Trump, Trumpism, and they're going to retreat from conservatism, or they're going to retreat from objecting to what Biden wants to do. So that's why you'll see more executive orders than you might have expected in the early weeks, just not only to undo Trump, but also to set Biden's pathway and show Republicans he's willing to use executive power, as George W. Bush did, as Obama did, as Trump did, to get what he wants done.
Our last 30 seconds here, there are reports that President Trump has been talking about setting up his own political party, a so-called Patriot Party. What do you make of those reports? Would something like that be viable?
Third parties have always been potentially quite strong in affecting major party candidate chances. John Anderson, for example, Ross Perot, for example. There's a lot of ways in which third parties can do, quote unquote, damage to candidates in major parties, but it's very hard nationally to make a run from a third party for all sorts of structural reasons. So he may just want to continue to do damage, and he's very angry with Republicans who won when he lost. And I don't think that anger is going to subside anytime soon.
Wendy Schiller, always good getting your insights. Thank you so much for this. Wendy Schiller is chair of the political science department at Brown University. Reminder, our special coverage of the inauguration of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris begins at 11 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and television in a special inaugural edition of Balance of Power. Ahead of that, futures pointing to a higher market open on Wall Street, with S&P futures up 15 points right now, Dow futures up 71, NASDAQ futures on the rise by 104 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, chance for a morning snow flurry, turning partly sunny and breezy today, upper 30s for afternoon highs, low 20s tonight. Occasional sunshine, upper 30s tomorrow. We'll be back in the low 40s, mostly sunny on Friday.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Just over 5 hours from now, Joe Biden becomes the 46th president of the United States. President Trump heads to Florida ahead of the ceremony. But first, he's issued a slew of pardons, 143 commutations and pardons in total, including one high-profile former advisor. And we get more on that from Bloomberg's Stephanie Baker.
Steve Bannon's on the list. He'd only been indicted and pleaded guilty to basically using money that he had raised from Trump supporters for building the wall and using some of that money for his own personal expenses.
In addition to Bannon, President Trump issued pardons for the rapper Lil Wayne and former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick. He did not grant clemency to WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange or former intelligence contractor Edward Snowden. He also refrained from pardoning himself and members of his family.
Now, as President-elect Joe Biden takes office, he's planning a slew of executive orders to sign as soon as today. And Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. John?
And Nathan, not long after taking the oath of office, Mr. Biden will sign 15 executive orders. He'll move to rejoin the Paris Accord, impose a moratorium on oil leasing in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, and cancel the Keystone XL oil pipeline. He'll re-engage with the World Health Organization and send Dr. Anthony Fauci to speak to the group. Mr. Biden will also sign an executive action ending restrictions on travel and immigration from some predominantly Muslim countries. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Turning to corporate news now, shares of Netflix are up more than 13% in early trading. That's after the streaming service added 8.5 million new customers in the fourth quarter. That topped estimates and caps the biggest year ever for Netflix.
And up next, we get earnings from Morgan Stanley. Here with a preview is Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
Strength in its institutional, wealth, and asset management businesses are expected to boost Morgan Stanley's revenue, according to Bloomberg Intelligence. Industry momentum is seen as a likely topic for the bank's conference call, with the potential to carry over into the current quarter. The incorporation of its E-Trade acquisition will also be a focus. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thank you. And futures are higher this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. NASDAQ futures especially up 0.8% or 100 points. S&P futures also higher, up 14. Dow futures up 59. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 1.10%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 1.25%. And straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by your Tri-State Area Land Rover retailers, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
Nathan, thank you very much. The U.S. has recorded 400,000 COVID-19 deaths,
With more than 24 million COVID-19 infections, the U.S. has been the world leader in cases and deaths, contributing about a fifth of the more than 2 million fatalities reported globally. India and Brazil are next in line. New York officials are pushing for more COVID-19 vaccine doses as the effort to speed up inoculations collides with a lack of vaccines. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio praises the new incoming Biden administration for their expected help.
That's the kind of commitment that's going to help us here in New York City to get the vaccine we need, because the central message today is we are vaccinating people faster and faster. It's getting better and better. And just now we are running out of vaccine and we need it desperately. A new president, I think, is going to make all the difference.
Blasio says that the city will have to start canceling vaccine appointments unless it gets more doses. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo warned of tax increases on the wealthy and cuts to schools, local government, and social services unless the state gets a budget balancing $15 billion infusion from President-elect Joe Biden's $350 billion stimulus proposal. Cuomo referenced what he says the Trump administration did to the state.
New York was used as a political pinata for this federal government. We had a federal administration that was hyper-political. New York is seen as a democratic state, an East Coast state. New York is seen as an urban area. And that was used as a political statement, oppose New York.
There are controversial comments from outgoing Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Pompeo on Twitter says that multiculturalism is not who America is, suggesting what he calls wokeism is dividing Americans. Democratic Senator Robert Menendez of New Jersey slammed Pompeo's statement.
Obviously, he doesn't know the great wealth of talent that exists in the diversity of the nation. I guess that he believes that someone like me shouldn't be able to rise and be the chairman of the Center for Foreign Relations.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Right, Michael. Thanks. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Back to John Stashar for Bloomberg Sports Update.
Nathan, a year after the Mets fired manager Carlos Beltran before he ever managed a game, they fired general manager Jared Porter just a month into the job. ESPN broke the story of inappropriate text that Porter sent to a female reporter. Mets president Sandy Alderson was asked how the Mets were unaware.
You know, we had references from a variety of organizations, a number of individuals, people who had known him for a long time, people who endorsed him, who knew him from, you know, his earliest days in college. There wasn't really a dissenting voice.
Meanwhile, the Mets were interested in signing free agent outfielder George Springer, but he signed with Toronto, 6 years, $150 million, too steep a price for the Mets. Springer, a big part of the Houston Astros' success. Another baseball Hall of Famer has passed away. Don Sutton was 75, pitched for 23 seasons, 16 with the Dodgers, third all-time in games started, trailing only Cy Young and Nolan Ryan. At the Garden, Rangers outshot the Devils 50-28. But New Jersey won the game 4-3. Seton Hall lost by 2 at Villanova. The Nets are in Cleveland tonight. The return of Kyrie Irving after missing the last 7 games. He said yesterday that he just needed a pause. A pause for Tiger Woods. Won't play any tournaments for the next month or so. Just had a procedure to alleviate the nerve pain in his lower back. It's the fourth time Woods has had the same procedure. Kansas City Chiefs optimistic Patrick Mahomes can get out of concussion protocol and play in Sunday's AFC Championship game with Buffalo. The NFL says Sarah Thomas will be one of the officials in the Super Bowl, the first female to work the game. John Stashow with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market this morning with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Of course, Dave, we've been watching Netflix all morning long after another big quarter for the streaming service.
Yeah, absolutely, Nathan. I mean, Netflix shares up more than 13% in early trading. The streaming video service surpassed 200 million subscribers in the fourth quarter, Netflix adding 8.5 million customers, and the growth beat analysts' average estimate in the Bloomberg survey. And what's more, Netflix said it no longer needs to obtain outside financing and is considering stock buybacks. You put that all together, you're seeing gains in some of Netflix's streaming video peers as well. Walt Disney notably up 2.5% in early trading and Roku up 1.5%.
Ah, interesting. Another big surprise this morning, Jack Ma has resurfaced.
Absolutely, and it's a real plus for Alibaba Group Holdings, the online retailer that Ma founded. The American Depositary Receipts up 7.5%. Ma resurfaced for the first time since China's government started clamping down on his businesses. He appeared in a live stream video honoring rural teachers. Now, we got a whole lot more on the earnings front to talk about. Right. United Health Group, health insurer, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average shares a little change. Fourth quarter earnings and revenue beat estimates, even with higher costs related to the COVID-19 pandemic. We're expecting results from another Dow component, Procter & Gamble, shortly. The shares are up 1.5%. The consumer product makers' earnings and sales growth slowed in the fiscal second quarter, according to analyst estimates. Look for those numbers in the next half hour or so. Financial companies still getting results there. Morgan Stanley due out in about 40 minutes. Analysts expect fourth quarter results to show the investment bank's profit and revenue gains decelerated for the second straight quarter. Nonetheless, Morgan Stanley up 2% early on. U.S. Bank Corp also due out momentarily, actually. Those shares up 1.5%. And we got numbers from Bank of New York Mellon. Fourth quarter earnings and assets under management were higher than projections. Not seeing much of a move in that stock. One more for you, Nathan. Tyson Foods up 1.5%. The meat processor reached settlements totaling $221.5 million with three groups of plaintiffs in an antitrust case related to broiler chickens. Tyson said the amount will be included in first quarter results.
Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, thank you for this. Another very busy day for you on this inauguration day as well. And taking a look at stocks as a whole ahead of the open, looking like more gains for equity investors. Right now, S&P futures are up almost 14 points. Dow futures up 53. NASDAQ futures on the rise by just about 100 points. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 1.10%, and the yield on the two-year, 0.13%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, morning flurries of snow, then turning partly sunny, breezy, upper 30s, low 20s tonight, upper 30s, occasional sunshine tomorrow, mostly sunny, low 40s again by Friday, currently 37 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks moving higher along with U.S. stock index futures lifted by earnings and hopes for more stimulus. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 13 points, Dow futures up 52, NASDAQ futures up 100 or about 0.8%. The 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 1.09%, yield on the two-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.25% or 67 cents at $53.65 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $9.70 at $18.49.90 an ounce. The euro 1.2116 against the dollar, British pound 1.3686, and the yen at 103.80. And United Health Group beating analyst estimates for fourth quarter earnings as its costs of care decline compared to the previous year. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Donald Trump granted clemency to dozens of people just after midnight, including his former strategist Steve Bannon, in one of his final official acts as president. Meanwhile, President-elect Joe Biden will lose the elect part of his title when he is sworn in today. Bloomberg will carry it live starting at 11 a.m. Wall Street time. The National Guard has removed 12 people from duty protecting the U.S. Capitol after background checks found links to extremists or other issues that raised concerns. A Pentagon spokesman says we're not taking any chances. In the NHL, the Devils down the Rangers 4-3. The Capitals lost in overtime to the Penguins 5-4. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Netflix investors, we need to talk about churn. I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Think of the streaming wars as a game of Jenga. How many subscriptions can you stack atop consumers before they start to pull out and the whole thing comes tumbling down? It's that moment that has streaming video executives nervous. only they'd refer to it as churn and burn, industry jargon for losing subscribers. In the last 14 months, Apple TV Plus, Discovery Plus, Disney Plus, HBO Max, and Peacock all began competing with Netflix. And sure enough, this has spurred a lot of so-called hoppers, which are consumers who cancel and resubscribe repeatedly to numerous apps, creating a nightmare of financial volatility for media companies. Because of the pandemic, we can't do much but stream right now, giving businesses like Disney and AT&T's WarnerMedia time to get their houses in order. But the anxiety of playing Jenga is that you know what's coming. The industry just can't support all these subscriptions forever. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C., where President-elect Joe Biden is preparing to take the oath of office in a capital under lockdown. President Trump is leaving office, but not before issuing dozens of pardons, including to Steve Bannon and Lil Wayne, but not himself. And the incoming president's team is hinting at keeping the old one's tough line on China. But at the same time, this new president plans to swiftly unwind President Trump's policies on immigration and health. For more on all this, we're joined by Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter. Kate, we've gotten a number of details on the executive orders that the new president plans to sign in just the first day. Can you run through some of them for us?
Sure. Well, there's a number of things, and these are things that Biden has been telegraphing as priorities for his administration. Everything from, you know, renewing the U.S. commitment to the World Health Organization, rejoining the Paris Climate Pact, issuing a federal mask mandate that would apply to people on federal property or in federal buildings, also reversing Trump's travel ban, which was a big initiative of the early part of Trump's administration, where he banned people from majority Muslim countries from entering the U.S. That's going to be reversed as well. So it's a real range of things, but I think it kind of zeroes in on issues that are important both symbolically and substantively to the Biden administration and signals where his focus is going to be potentially going forward.
And talking about symbolism, of course, we have the swearing-in ceremony on the west front of the Capitol. That is the tradition. But, of course, after all the events of the last couple of weeks, there are a lot of traditions that are not being upheld and a whole new atmosphere in Washington right now.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm thinking back to President Obama's inauguration, for instance, 12 years ago. I was in Washington for that. And, you know, it was a very convivial atmosphere. It was kind of like a big party all weekend long and people down on the mall. And, you know, there were some counter protesters, people that didn't support Obama. But, you know, it was a much, much, much different situation. You know, typically the swearing in is followed by a parade. There was people lining the sides of Pennsylvania Avenue where they parade up to the White House from Capitol Hill. Then in the evening, there's the inaugural balls where, you know, the president and the first lady travel around and, you know, dance in public. And it's a very much pomp and circumstance, national celebration type of a day where politics takes a back seat. It's obviously a very different situation this time around, both because of the coronavirus and the continued need to social distance. And now, of course, because of the events that unfolded 2 weeks ago on Capitol Hill with the mob attack that's really required this unprecedented level of security. It's going to be a much different event, Nathan, and I think, you know, in many ways, one that is a lot more somber than what Americans are used to.
Now, President Trump, soon to be former President Trump, I think is hoping to bring some of that pomp and circumstance over to himself as he prepares to leave Washington. Do we know anything more about this send-off he's planning today?
Well, the president is going to be heading, outgoing president is going to be heading to Andrews Air Force Base, where he'll fly, on Air Force One, and then Air Force One for the last time to his resort in Florida, Mar-a-Lago, where he plans to take up residence. He's planning a pretty, big military-style send-off for himself at Andrews before he boards the plane. So that will be something that I'm sure people will cover that starts in probably just about an hour now. So he's going to be heading out of Washington before things really get rolling with the inaugural. And it's a bit of a much different picture than what we saw 4 years ago. What we typically see 4 years ago, the Trumps went up to the White House, traveled up to the Capitol with the Obamas, did this sort of, you know, official send-off for the Obamas as they took off from the East Front in a helicopter and flew, you know, onto their post-presidential life. There won't be any kind of public or private, you know, changing of the guard. We don't expect Biden and Trump to even see each other while they're both in Washington, even though Biden is staying across the street at Blair House. So it's, again, a very different tone, tenor, situation this time around. But I think given everything that's transpired, perhaps it may be, you know, potentially for the best.
And of course, before the president leaves, he's left his imprint in a number of ways here with a lot of pardons and even revoking the lobbying ban that he put in place in his first days in office.
Certainly. And, you know, I think it's important to remember, you know, with these pardons, that this is something that outgoing presidents typically do. You know, Trump by no means is the first to issue a slew of pardons on his last day in office. I was just looking back at Bill Clinton, for instance, who issued far more pardons. You know, of course, he had two terms, far more pardons than Trump has issued. And, you know, did in fact pardon, for instance, Mark Rich, who was a Democratic donor, on his final day in office. So, you know, I think it's significant that Trump did issue these pardons at the last moment. Obviously, some of them, like Steve Bannon, did raise some eyebrows. But I think it's even more significant that he didn't take the additional step that he, by all accounts, talked about, you know, seriously talked about in private and certainly speculated about in public, whether or not he might issue a pardon for himself, a preemptive pardon for himself or for his family members. He did not do that. And so that was a measure of, you know, restraint that we saw from a president that didn't often, you know, take those kind of tempered measures.
Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter with us on a very busy inauguration morning. Thank you for this. And a reminder to tune into our special coverage of the inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. It'll begin at 11 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. At 6:56 on Wall Street, it is time now for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one for student upward economic mobility. Learn more at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. President Trump has pardoned engineer Anthony Lewandowski, who stole trade secrets from his former employer, Alphabet's Waymo. In August, a judge ordered Lewandowski to spend 18 months in prison, concluding one of the highest-profile criminal cases to hit Silicon Valley. Lewandowski had pleaded guilty to trade secret theft. General Motors and Microsoft are teaming up. They are leading a $2 billion investment round in self-driving car startup Cruise. Cruise will be available to use Microsoft's Azure cloud computing platform to manage its self-driving vehicle network. Azure will handle data and mapping, as well as enable cars to communicate with Cruise's back office and customer-facing app for ride-hailing. It's a vital piece of software infrastructure that Cruise needs to build its planned commercial robotaxi service. And NASA is considering a second firing of its moon rocket engines after a critical test came up short over the weekend. The space agency had aimed to launch its new space launch system by the end of the year, with the capsule flying to the moon and back as a prelude to crew missions. But that date could be in jeopardy following the aborted test. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. And again, futures are moving higher this morning. S&P futures up 13 points, Dow futures up 43. NASDAQ futures jumping up 105 or 0.8%. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher a day before Joe Biden takes office as the 46th president of the United States. The president-elect arrives in Washington later today amid heavy security and a military lockdown. We get more from Bloomberg's Derek Wahlbeck.
you are seeing a security posture in the nation's capital that I have never seen before. It's going to be very quiet this year. It was going to be quiet before COVID, but now you've got barricades up creating what is effectively a green zone.
Outgoing President Trump has no plans to invite the Bidens to the White House before tomorrow's inauguration.
Meanwhile, Bloomberg News has learned White House officials do not expect the president to pardon himself. We get more from White House correspondent Josh Wingrove.
He's going to have some legal headaches going forward, but it doesn't look like he will do pardon for himself or his family. Instead, we do expect a big chunk of pardons to come out, including, you know, celebrities, that sort of thing.
President Trump has already issued pardons to several political allies and friends in the weeks since he lost re-election.
On Capitol Hill, Treasury Secretary nominee Janet Yellen is expected to call for expansive government action to bolster the U.S. economy. The former Fed chair begins her Senate confirmation hearing today.
And as Yellen addresses the economic fallout from the pandemic, the death toll is on the cusp of a grim milestone. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with that. John?
And Nathan, the country is on track to surpass 400,000 coronavirus deaths as soon as today. Still, there are signs that daily cases in the U.S. are coming off their highs. And trials to make sure vaccines are safe for the young, they're beginning. The University of Oxford is planning initial tests in 12 to 18-year-olds next month. Pfizer and Moderna started recruiting participants at the end of last year, but finding volunteers hasn't been easy. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And on Wall Street today, big bank earnings continue. Coming up, we get results from Goldman Sachs and Bank of America, and we hear from Netflix this afternoon. Again, futures this morning are on the rise. S&P futures up 25 points, Dow futures up 159, NASDAQ futures up 121, and the DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, the yield 1.10%, the yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 10 cents at $52.46 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.7% or $12.30 at $18.42.20 an ounce. The euro 1.2125 against the dollar. British pound 1.3620. And the yen is at 104 and checking Bitcoin $37,131. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he asked Pfizer if the state could buy vaccines directly from the company because the U.S. government has failed to increase supply. Cuomo says he wrote a letter to Pfizer's CEO saying the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention expanded eligibility to more than 7 million New Yorkers from 5 million practically overnight. At the same time, the CDC has increased and in some cases reduced the supply to states. Cuomo once again called out the feds for not stopping flights from the countries where new COVID strains have emerged. He says any of the new strains could touch off a surge that could even surpass the nation's first wave.
There's now a Brazilian strain, which may actually be worse than the South African strain or the UK strain. Any of these three strains could be a second wave.
New York will get 250,000 doses this week, 50,000 fewer than last week. Violent protests outside of New York City Hall led to dozens of arrests last night. Black Lives Matter protesters also demonstrated on the Brooklyn Bridge. Police say several officers suffered non-life-threatening injuries. Senator Chuck Schumer, who will soon become majority leader, says those involved in the Capitol siege 2 weeks ago will face the consequences and says President Trump will also face consequences for inciting the riot.
They will not succeed. The sun is shining, and it's going to continue to shine, and they and Donald Trump will be brought to justice.
Schumer made the comments at an event hosted by the National Action Network. Melania Trump has released a farewell video on her Twitter feed. The First Lady discussed how she became inspired to begin her Be Best initiative.
When I came to the White House, I reflected on the responsibility I have always felt as a mother to encourage, give strength, and teach values of kindness.
President Trump's approval rating has dropped to 34% in a Gallup poll, the low point of a presidency that already had the weakest average approval rating of any of his predecessors since the survey began in the 1940s. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries, I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashar.
Thanks, Nathan. Knicks, Nets, Islanders all at home, all with victories. Knicks coming off that stunning 30-point win in Boston, made it two straight since the five-game losing streak, 91-84 over Orlando. R.J. Barrett, 22 points. Julius Randle at 21. Good one in Brooklyn last night. The Nets won their fourth in a row, 125-123 over Milwaukee. James Harden fitting in nicely with his new team. He had 32 points and a triple-double in his Nets debut, and then last night scored 34. Kevin Durant had 30 and the go-ahead three-pointer. Seventh straight game that Kyrie Irving has missed. The feeling is he might play tomorrow in Cleveland. Islanders and Bruins were scoreless until a J.G. Pageau goal with just over 4 minutes left. The Isles won 1-0. St. John's beat 23rd-ranked UConn 74-70. Baylor, ranked second, is now 13-0 after a win over Kansas. Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields made it official. He's leaving school, heading for the NFL. Could the Jets be interested in Fields? They have the second overall pick. The NFL announced the scouting combine that's been held in Indianapolis every year since 1987 will not take place this year due to COVID. Longtime Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels believed to be a strong candidate, if not the favorite, to become the new head coach in Philadelphia. The big question this week will be whether Patrick Mahomes can play for Kansas City in Sunday's AFC Championship game. Will it be Mahomes facing Buffalo or backup quarterback Chad Heady? Mahomes is in concussion protocol. It's not known if he actually suffered one the other day. There's a five-step process ending with being cleared for contact by an independent doctor. No set timetable, but usually lasts about a week. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
As New York City staggers through January, the cost of the pandemic, both in lives and livelihoods, just keeps rising. Unemployment in the Bronx is hovering around 16%. The number of visitors is expected to reach just over half its pre-pandemic heights. And a third of the city's neighborhood businesses might not make it until vaccines become widely available. An analysis of the nation's property taxes confirms New Jersey has again secured the title of worst property tax state. A Go Banking Rate survey of Tax Foundation data shows the Garden State's current average annual property tax burden is about $8,300. Well, Connecticut has erased its $800 million budget gap for the current fiscal year. Revenue from capital gains and business taxes has exceeded projections. The state projects collecting about $980 million more in revenue compared with last month's estimate. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, Ed, thank you. It is 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Ethanol giant Green Plains is betting on agricultural technology for its future.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're looking at some big bank earnings reports, including from Wall Street giant Goldman Sachs.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on Boris Johnson facing a Tory rebellion over plans to get UK courts to label China as a state practicing genocide.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting European car sales plunged the most ever last year.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Later today, we get earnings from Netflix. The streaming service is out with results after the close of U.S. trading. And here with more is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The big question heading into the report is just how many new subscribers was Netflix able to add in the fourth quarter? Bloomberg Intelligence says the streaming service is poised to report a strong 2020 finish as seasonal strength, extended shutdowns, and a stream of hits may help it easily beat estimates of 6 million new users and achieve the 200 million member milestone. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. America's housing market is the focus of this week's U.S. economic agenda. The Commerce Department will report on December housing starts and building permits, while the National Association of Realtors issues data on existing home sales. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
The property market had a banner year even with the pandemic. Record low mortgage rates provided a boost for those who had the money, putting a squeeze on a number of properties on the market. But there's also been plenty of pain with rising evictions and foreclosures after the economic collapse in March and April. Weekly jobless claims, for example, are again running close to the 1 million mark as coronavirus flare-ups disrupt commerce. Vinny Dell, Judice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. Finally, Tesla has begun delivering the first Model Y SUVs built in China, the second locally built electric vehicle Tesla sold in the country. Last year, the Tesla Model 3 was China's most popular electric car. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by your Tri-State Area Land Rover retailers, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.